Many are aware of how Christ's last days amongst the living were spent, but only a few have gone into the story of how his mother, the Virgin Mary, would come to pass. What happened to Mary after she lost her son? Where did she go? How did she spend her last days on earth? Mother Mary, after she lost her son, was left in the care of John the Evangelist, known as well as the theologian. Though she lost her son, she gained hundreds of his followers who would gather around to listen to her stories, reminding us of his teachings, his miracles, and the divine message. The harsh and cruel King Herod was persecuting the mother, and thus she was forced to flee. Fearing for her safety, John took her to Ephesus in Cyprus around 43 AD. But she couldn't stay away from her home for too long. Soon enough, she would return to Jerusalem. On one of her frequent visits to Golgotha, a holy appearance by Archangel Gabriel was experienced. Here, the Archangel tells Mary that her time has come. She made her way back home along with her dear friends, Sephora, Abigail, and Jael, where she would utter her fate to them. The time is now. She only wished for John and her disciples to come to her, but how? They are all spreading the word of Christ all around the continent. But just like that, God would send over to her her closest of disciples. From Ephesus, John would be transported, along with Paul of Tarsus, Timothy, Dionysus, Herotheus, and many, many others. Around 70 people were brought over by the Holy Ghost, all of whom she would call out by name as they bid farewell and ask the mother for her blessing. As the hour struck 9, a blazing light which overcame the candles in the room shed a beam of light on Mary in her dying state. Ever so vibrant, nurturing, and kind, the pure one, the unstained one, would come to pass. With a smile on her face, as she saw her son in heaven, surrounded by her beloved, she closed her eyes. Mother Mary's soul ascended past the pearly gates to a symphony of angels, rejoining her son. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. This is your host, Jeremy Grech, on another episode of Caro Caravaggio. We are on episode 8 now, only a handful of episodes left as we progress through the life of Michelangelo Merisi, all thanks to his paintings. Now, I've tried to do these things as chronological as possible. I've already told you that in the last episode, we were supposed to talk about the death of a virgin, but here she is right now. And why did it take so long? Why was there this change? Let's explain this little mistake, I guess. Basically, when it came to researching the painting, it is listed down between 1601 and 1606. Why it took so long for its completion is never truly that clear. It could be because Caravaggio was very, very, very busy at the time. However, that also puts it in the time frame, which is why we've added this a little bit after. The aim is also to push the narrative, let's say that, because now we're going to be talking about the troublesome years of Caravaggio. Starting over with this painting to explain and lay the ground, today we will talk about the death of a virgin, which will show us the controversial side, the element which got Caravaggio, let's call it, cancelled at the time. And in fact, this painting never made it to the chapel where it was meant to be placed in. From here, then, we will be discussing in the next episode the downfall of Caravaggio when he gets into trouble with none other than Ranuccio Tomassoni, and finally when he lands on the islands of Malta, but we will get to those very, very soon, my dear friends. Shall we get this episode started? While, of course, let's hit it out with the first track, and once we're back, we'll get to deciphering this Caravaggio. We'll be right back. welcome back to episode 8 of Caro Caravaggio with your host, Jeremy Grech. Today we are discussing the death of a virgin. This is all about the last moments from the life of Virgin Mary. A story that might not be too familiar to some, and as an ex-altar boy for 7 years, technically, we didn't really get too much light shed on such an episode. Most is known about the life of Christ, but what happened to his mother after? Even when you research the death of the Virgin Mary, not a lot of information comes out. As far as I know, it is not even in the main biblical text, but there are some good details about it, which we did manage to hear in the introduction of this episode. When it comes to this painting, it's a Caravaggio that truly was never put up in the chapel it was meant to be in. A chapel that would have been commissioned by Lorenzo Cherubini, who had his own funerary section designed. Unfortunately, on the 14th of October of 1606, a letter was sent back stating that due to lack of decorum, the painting could not go up in the chapel. And what do we mean by lack of decorum? Was the Blessed Virgin painted in some specific way? Was she unglorified? Well, technically, since we are talking about Caravaggio, you could say that, but not in any disrespectful way. We have to look at this in a more theoretical side and understand what the church truly wanted. Caravaggio was challenging the entire system. The church wanted realism, and Caravaggio gave them that realism. But it is a fine line that you try not to cross, especially when there are some very idealized images of the Blessed Virgin, mostly, ascending up into heaven. In fact, when we look at the detail, this wasn't the only rejection inside this chapel. Even the gentleman, Carlo Saraceni, who would bring up the new painting, had his first one denied. Only his second one would be approved. And we'll get to this detail very, very soon. But in the meantime, allow me to introduce this painting. Complete, finally, after around 5 years of going back and forth, in 1606, Caravaggio would finish this, standing at 369 centimeters in length and 245 centimeters in width. This masterpiece was meant to be hung in the Santa Maria della Scala, a beautiful church, another one in Rome. Rome is definitely, there is a church right around every corner. If you think Malta is full of churches, Rome is definitely giving us a run for our money. But what do we see over here? Dear friends, Romans and countrymen, let's take a deep dive into the death of a virgin. Right here we are seeing a bit of a different technique and style. To start off with, this is a very, very crowded painting of Caravaggio's. We have to split this into three sections. There is the top part, there is the mid section, and the bottom section. Let's start off at the very, very top. Unlike the usual style, we don't have a very dominant and bright beam of light. This is a death scene, and so we have to dim the light a little bit down. At the very top, we can see a beautiful ceiling with what seems to be wooden beams, alluding to perhaps some nobility. We are talking, after all, about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Onto the ceiling, we also have a red piece of drapery, folded very similarly to what we had in Judith beheading Holofernes, the bright red of Caravaggio. It is not taking the entire top section, but rather two-thirds. On the top left-hand side, there is a bit of a gap, and that is when, technically, we start our borders off with this curtain, as if you are about to head over onto a stage to see this new scene, a scene selected from the holy texts, one that we are not all too, let's say, familiar with. We approach the midsection of the painting. And this is where it gets very, very crowded. In the beginning of the episode, we mentioned that around 70 disciples would appear in front of the Virgin Mary, of which she would mention each and every one of them by name. Over here, we are not talking about the faithful apostles to Christ. We are talking about the other followers that would join the religion and start spreading the word of God. Here, from the left at the back, we can see some heads faded out. Three faces are grouped together and they are talking to each other, not fully visible. But then coming closer to us, we can see a man with a mustard sort of robe and greenish clothes underneath, a possible tunic that looks down and illuminates now the Blessed Virgin. This man, beside him, we see a younger face, a man with a full beard, who looks over his left shoulder. The right side of his face is fully visible, but not heavily illuminated, still playing with a lot of shadows. The only dominant spot of light is on his right cheekbone. He looks at a man right in front of him who is also technically tilted downwards, another aged man, bald. We can also see fading hair on his scalp, a big white beard, this time a little bit more of a camel color, and his hand is fully out as if surprised, as if he wants to go and hug the Blessed Virgin that lies just underneath him, dead. Next to him is a man in green. He holds his eyes as he weeps and he cries his heart out. Once again, a balding man. We can fully see a bald head with some hair on the side covering his ears. And then farther off to the right, we can see a younger man also wearing green. More robes are on him. This gives his clothes a little bit more of a textured feel. But he's got his left hand pushing up onto his cheek, which hides most of his face. But his hair shows us youth. This man doesn't even look at the Virgin lying dead. He almost looks away at her feet, perhaps also guiding us into what to see here. As we now approach the last quarter of this painting, here we technically have three characters, and most importantly, the Blessed Virgin. In this section, we see a young man weeping, his left hand fully flat on his face, and with his right, he places it on his chest, as if about to beat it in pain and sadness. Now we come to Mary. She lays on the bed, lifeless, dressed in a red tunic, unlike any depictions we have ever seen. Her face doesn't glow, she is lost in a deep trance, laid down with her left hand above the pillow, extending to the viewer as if reaching out to give us a hand. Her right arm then rests on her belly, revealing that the Virgin is bloated. Even her skin is pallid. How long has she been dead for? Is this before or after the angels welcomed the Mary's soul into heaven? She truly seems regular. So how can we tell this is the Mother of God? A faint halo can be seen on the right of the artwork, under the green drapes, possibly of John the Evangelist, the young man we mentioned earlier, and above her white pillow. Underneath the Virgin, we see our last character, Mary Magdalene, young, impassioned, curled up and exhausted with pain. Her clothes are orange but lacking too much decorum. It's not bright either. She weeps for the Mother of God, for the one who accepted her when no one else would. These are but moments of fear, shame, uncertainty, and emotional chaos shared by everyone. These are moments which they will soon need to dispose of in order to make the space required in their hearts for the courage that they now need to lay the mother to rest. Only before that famous assumption.
Long ago, just like a hearse, died to get in again. You are so far from me. to incinerate the lives of everyone you know. And what's the worst you would take? Been holding on to life. What's the worst that I can say? Things are better if I stay. So long and good night. So long and good night. Every starfall brought you to tears again. We are the very hurt you sold. And what's the worst you'd take from every heart you break? And like the blade you stain, I've been holding on to a knife. What's the worst that I can say? Things are better if I stay. So long and good night. So long and good night. And if you care, things are better if I stay. So long and good night. So long and good night. Can when both our cars collide? What's the worst that I can say? Things are better if I stay. So long and good night. So long and good night. And if you care, things are better if I stay. So long and good night. So long and good night.
And we are back to Campus 103.7 on Caro Caravaggio, another episode with your host Jeremy Grech, episode number 8 of 13, and we are super, super excited. Now, why did we choose this painting to talk about today? Especially since, when it comes to the controversial ones by Caravaggio, there are others. Now, specifically this one, I like to mention mostly is the changes that also went into the chapel before we get to the scandal of it all. So, when Carlo Saracini, the person that got the commission after Caravaggio's, was denied, his first painting was also technically denied. Why? What was in this painting that made it look so bad that the church did not want it? Here, the Virgin was depicted once again dead. So perhaps the church didn't want artists to depict the Blessed Virgin as dead. This is a chapel that people will be coming to and seeing. Is this the message that we want to show the people? Let's not forget that in the biblical story, the Virgin was then ascended into heaven with mind, body, soul, and spirit. So the church wanted a clear depiction. One a little bit more triumphant, less gory, less dark as the one that Caravaggio gives us. Caravaggio gives us a funeral scene, people weeping, people crying and ripping their hair out. Well, most of the men were bald in there, so not much to rip out. But jokes aside, if you take a look at Carlo Saraceni's official, then confirmed design, you will definitely get to see what the church wanted and see the changes. But something was written down about this painting stating that technically it's not morally correct. Something is off. Something is a little bit, let's say, rude about the way that Caravaggio would depict the Virgin. Some say that perhaps it's because the Blessed Virgin can be seen with her bare feet, something not all too common. But in last episode, Our Lady of the Pilgrims, she had bare feet, but over there she wasn't. Dead. In this painting as well, the Blessed Virgin can be seen slightly bloated with pallid skin, a depiction that we've never seen of the Blessed Virgin Mary ever before. So these were all ticking the wrong boxes until finally, some say that the inspiration, the model for the Blessed Virgin was none other than a prostitute that they found dead in the river. For the priest to say that the Virgin was modeled after a dead prostitute, this was not going to be all that okay. Which is why Caravaggio would be denied this commission. He would not technically keep it, and now we know that the painting was later on sold to the Duke of Mantua after careful consideration and recommendation by the legendary Peter Paul Rubens, who also happened to be a big fan of Caravaggio at the time. Today, it stays at the Louvre in France, which hopefully will remain there and not be stolen, just like the crown jewels, but I think it's too big to carry out. Jokes aside, my dear friends, with that, we come to a close of yet another episode. And in fact, next time, we're going to be leaving Rome and heading over to Napoli as we describe the Seven Works of Mercy, one of the most recent Caravaggios that I was lucky enough to see, and one that I am super excited to tell you all about, because right now, the rock star that is Caravaggio is going to get a little bit naughtier and a little bit more spicy.